by faith Noah, being warned of God these things, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the wrath and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Now turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, because that's where we're going to be for a little bit tonight. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. We thank you for your love. I pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done here to be for your honor and your glory. Love you. We thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this morning. We just pray now that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What does it take to be faithful to God? What do we have to do to be found faithful to God? If you go through chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's called the faith chapter, or the faithful chapter. Many people call it the faithful chapter. And it's the most faithful chapter of the whole Bible, if you take and you read through chapter 11. If you read through chapter 11, you're going to find different people mentioned who have been faithful, and they've been given high honors in as having their names and everything in the Bible. But in the passage of Scripture which we just read, we see a man by the name of Noah. Many of you know the story of Noah, and how that he was swallowed by the fish and was in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. No, that was Jonah. But I want to look tonight at what it takes to be faithful in our own lives to God, the church, and our families. Turning the Bible, as you will, to Genesis chapter 6, I want to look at the life of Noah and to see why he was found faithful to God and what it takes for us to be faithful to God also. This is the first part of a three-part message. Next week I've got another part to this, and the following week another part. I very seldom ever do series, but I've got a series on this that I'm doing. But there's some things that I believe that a person needs to have in order to be found faithful. The first thing is this: a person needs to desire to be faithful. You have to have the desire to be faithful. Look at Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse number 8. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all of his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God. Noah had the desire to do what God wanted him to do. All of the other people of that day were doing their own thing their own way. They were, the Bible says in verse 5, the people were wicked and their heart was evil continually. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. It says, "And God saw the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The people were only looking at themselves for their pleasure. They were only looking at what they could have themselves doing it their way. They weren't looking at what God had for them. All they had was the me, me, me attitude. What can me get? How can me get it? And what would it do for me? Have you ever known people like that who were me, 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 me? What can I get? They could care less about what was happening in the church or to God's people. All they wanted out of life was what they could get themselves out of it. The more they could get, they felt the happier they were. I don't believe the people in Noah's day were faithful to anything. I don't believe that they were faithful to their families. I don't believe they were faithful to their wives, their husbands. I don't believe they were faithful to their jobs. I don't believe they were faithful to church. I know they weren't faithful to God. Because Noah was the only righteous man. He was it. There's only one. These people had no desire to serve God. But Noah found grace and walked with God. You know, on my tombstone someday when I die, back, you know, after 2000 and after 2245, when we get up to there, that's when I'm going to die, 2245. Anyway, that was a joke. But I want on my tombstone, he walked with God. That's what I want on there. He walked with God. What more could a person ask for than to walk with God? Amen? You know, I mean, there's an awful lot of people in this world today who have no idea whatsoever what it is to walk with God. If people knew what it meant to walk with God, this place would be packed tonight. It would be. But people don't know what it means to walk with God. You know, these people had no desire to serve God. But Noah found grace and walked with God. Noah had the desire to be close to God. Noah feared God. Noah knew it was God who had created the world. Noah knew it was God who made everything. Noah knew it was God who could destroy everything known to man. Noah knew all that. He knew that he served an almighty God. But Noah's desire was to be faithful to God. You know, if we're going to be faithful, we need the desire to be faithful. You know, we have to have a desire to be faithful to our mates. We have to have a desire to be faithful to our jobs. We have to have a desire to be faithful to the church. And we have to be faithful, or we have to have the desire to be faithful in our tithing. We have to have the desire to be faithful in our Bible reading. We have to have the desire to be faithful to a good prayer life. You know, listen, if we did not have the desire to do something, we're not going to be faithful to it. Did you know that? You know, do you know that whatever you desire to do, you can always find time to do it? Did you know that? You know, it doesn't make any difference how busy your day is. If you have a desire to do something, no matter what it is, you can find time to do it. I talked to a preacher friend of mine on Friday. We were talking over some different things, and he's busy like I am. And I said to him, well, what are you doing tomorrow? He said, I'm going to the Diamondbacks game. I said, oh, really? I said, I thought you had this and this and this and this going on tomorrow. He goes, yeah. He said, I'm going to find somebody else to do this and this. And he said, I'm going to go to the Diamondback team. He had a desire to go. So he found a way that he could get out of what he was supposed to be doing and go to the Diamondback team. Listen, if we have a desire to do something, we're going to find a way to do it. You know, that's why we need to have a desire to be faithful to God. We need to have a desire to read our Bible. We have to have a desire to do that. If you don't have a desire to sit down and read your Bible, I guarantee you're not going to do it. You're not going to be faithful to reading your Bible if you don't have a desire to do it. You know, you are here tonight because you have a desire to be in church tonight. Amen or oh me, that's the way it is. There's an awful lot of people that should be here tonight, but they didn't have the desire to be here. Amen? Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. I realize we don't have many people, but I'll tell you what, this is some good stuff. I wonder how many of us, if God said we had to spend X amount of time serving Him to get to heaven, would actually do it. Or would we be like so many people in Noah's day and have no desire to go to heaven? After all, they all could have been saved. All they had to do was get on the boat. All they had to do was have a desire to get in the boat with Noah. In fact, it was up until the last day Noah preached that they needed to get in the boat. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. But there are so many who will say that, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and they have no desire to do anything for God. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if I was God, I would look at them and I'd say, good luck, Charlie. Amen? I'd say, good luck, buddy. If you think you're going to get to my heaven your way, good luck. You know, if a person is going to be faithful, you need to have that desire, the inner desire, to want to get it accomplished and want to do it. Or I guarantee that you are not going to be faithful at anything at all. Not only that, but you also need to be dependable to be faithful. Look at verse 14 and 22 of Genesis chapter 6. Verse 14 says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without, without with pitch. Verse 22, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Wow. Now, God told Noah to build an ark. Noah had no idea what an ark was. He had never seen a boat. He had never seen a ship. He had never seen a huge body of water. After all, everything was watered up from the ground. There was no bodies of water. You know, he had no idea what he was even building. Noah did not know how long it was going to take him to build it. Noah had no idea what he was going to use for tools. You know, think about it. He has no circular saws. He has no lathe to take and do the pegs. He has nothing like that at all. He has to do everything by hand. And he's building this great big boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if Noah was a carpenter up to this point, but he became one real quick. You know, he did not know even where to start building. You know, he was dependable. He did everything that God asked him to do. God knew that Noah was going to be dependable. God knew that Noah would do everything that he wanted him to do because Noah desired to please God. You know, God wants people who are going to be dependable and will do the things that he wants to get done. You know, God wants people who will stand in the gap and say, here, my Lord, use me. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Use me. You know, God wants people who are going to do what he wants them to do. God wants people who are not afraid to get their hands a little bit dirty and get in and get the job done. Dependability is not one of America's strongest suits anymore. In fact, it's not people's strongest suit around the world anymore. People are not dependable to their work, to get to work on time. People are not dependable to do the job which they say they'll do. People are not dependable to do what they tell God they'll do. People are not dependable to pay their bills on time. People are not dependable to raise their families the way they should raise them according to what the Bible says. People are not dependable to build products which stand the test of time like they used to. People are not dependable to be in God's house when the doors are open like they used to be. People are not dependable to pay their tithes to the Lord. People are not dependable to the ministries that they told God that they would do. You know, if we would have dependable people today, there'd be a whole lot more that would get done for the Lord. Amen? You know, I was in the workforce for a good many years. In fact, the majority of my life. And the last 10 years, I have seen a huge change in the pendulum of people. It used to be when somebody said, you know what, I'm going to be there at such and such time to do such and such thing, they were here. Now, you have people who don't show up for anything. You run a school. 7:45 in the morning, I'll get a text. I can't make it today, I'm sick. They have to scramble trying to find somebody to take that class. Listen, people's dependability nowadays is almost nothing. I mean, it's amazing. You know, we were talking about this yesterday, Brother William and I and Kevin, and I said to him, I said, why is it people are not dependable anymore? When they say they're going to do something or be there to do something, why is it that they don't do it? And yet they both said to me, both of them at the same time, said this, there are no consequences. You know what? I never thought of it that way. No consequences. You know, I got to thinking about school. Why is it kids don't do their homework? No consequences. Why is it they're not getting their casework done the way they're supposed to? No consequences. Well, this year, guess what we built in? Consequences. You know, when you say you're going to have Friday and Saturday school, all of a sudden, something goes off in a child's mind that says, wait a minute, if I'm at school, I can't be home doing the things I want to do. I have to be under pastor's rule for another 2 days of the week. I think maybe I better get with the program. Amen? But listen, if there's no consequences that are put on the things, people are not dependable. Amen. You know, the worst thing there is, believe it or not, is working with volunteers. Are they going to fire them? You know, I mean, hey, you're fired. Okay, fine. I'll go volunteer someplace else. And I'll be just as lazy there as I was here. Okay, fine. You know what I mean? I mean, volunteers are the worst there are, because there's no way you can put any consequences on what they do. You can't have any of that free food today. Okay. I'll get it tomorrow. You know, I mean, that's the way people are. But there are no consequences for not being dependable. You know, Noah was a dependable person. God knew that if he gave Noah a job, he was going to do it to the best of his ability. You know, how would you like to have been a woodpecker in Noah's day? that he's building this boat. You know, I could, you know what? Maybe he used them to drill the holes. You know, here, drill a hole right here. You know what I mean? I don't know why I said that. It just popped into my head. But you know,
a little food,
or
you want the
hole? Yeah. Get a little squirrel in there. But you know, even though Noah did not know or have any idea what he was building, he was still dependable to get the job started. You know, he went out and he did something for the Lord. You know, while everyone else was living their lives the way they wanted to, carefree and fancy free, and he was there doing what God had wanted him to start and to build. We need to have a desire to be faithful. We need to be dependable. And the last thing is this. We need to do it for the duration. We need to do it for the duration. Look at, go over to chapter 6 and verse 22. It says, thus did Noah, according to all that the Lord commanded him to do, so did he. Now go over to chapter 7 and verse 5. And it says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Now, Noah was a striking 500 years old when God told him to build the ark. 500 years old! I mean, he was just a youngster, right? 500 years old! Yeah. In fact, Ham, Shem, and Japheth did not come into the, his three sons did not come into the picture until after he had built on the ark for 33 years. So he built all by himself. Now, it took him 100 years to build something that he had no idea what it was or what it was going to be used for. For 100 years, he preached to the people, you've got to get it ready because it's going to rain. Why was it they laughed him to scorn?
They didn't know what rain was.
They had no idea what rain was. It had never fallen from the... What's rain, Noah? Well, whatever it is, you got to be in there in order to be saved from it. Now, think about this for a minute. He's preaching the salvation of the ark for 100 years. No one listened. Not one person listened. Man. I mean, that's unbelievable, isn't it? A guy preaches 100 years while he's building this thing. And nobody listens to what he's saying. You know, I got to thinking about that while I was doing this message. Each and every day through that 100-year duration, Noah would get up every morning, he'd go out, and he'd start cutting down trees. Then he would take and he'd bring them back over to the ark, and he would have to hand hew all of that lumber. They didn't have any power saws. He had to hand cut all of that lumber. A lot of it he had to do all by himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I think me, if I was 500 years old, I would think twice about having to cut down trees. Have you ever thought about that? About Noah and the trees? Now, think about this. Okay, he's building this ark. Okay? So what does he do? He cuts all the trees around where the ark is, right? And makes room for the ark. So he starts cutting all the trees out from there. Now, this is going on for 100 years. The trees are still growing right around the ark. When they get 25 years old, he cuts them down and uses them. He starts all over again. He may not have had to wear a whole lot of ways out in order to get all the lumber. Amen? I know he didn't go down to Home Depot. Right? Yeah. I mean, you know, think about it. You know, the trees were growing at a very fast rate at that time period. And he may have every 10, 15 years cut the same trees down. He may not have had to went a long ways after lumber. The lumber came to him. And knowing God, God probably had him grow even faster around where Noah was. Yeah, I thought about this while I was doing this. Can you imagine Noah getting up in the morning? He had just cut down about 15 trees the day before. He got up the next morning, and here these trees are about this high already the next day. You know, by the time he got the trees in, why, 2 weeks later, they're up over his head. You know what I mean? He went, man, this is cool. I don't have to go very far from my lumber. You know, I think about things like that. Do you ever think about that? I do. You know, the older I get, I think about things like that a lot. You know, maybe it's my dementia. I don't know. Anyway, but you know, I'm sure there were times when Noah wanted to quit. I mean, how many times do you think he hit himself in the thumb with a hammer? You know what I mean? I mean, I know that there had to be times that he became very discouraged. And I'm sure there were times that he could see no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm sure that he did not take a lot of vacations while he was building the ark. Can you imagine working every day
for
100 years and not taking a vacation? I mean, people crab if they don't have 10 weeks a year. You know, I don't feel that Noah was a real wealthy man. After all, he was building a boat all the time. He couldn't go make money. You know, I got thinking about that too. Maybe he used the scrap wood for firewood and sold that. Amen? No, maybe not. But you ever wondered what would have happened if Noah would have stopped building the ark? You know, think about this. He's 10 years into building this ark. All of a sudden, one day, he's up there, and he's hammering away, and he smashes his thumb with that hammer, and he's going, ow, that felt good! Right? And that thumb swells up and throbs, and he's going, what am I doing? I've been working on this thing for 10 years. What am I doing? This is stupid. I don't even know if the thing will float.
What's floating?
Yeah. But think about this. 50 years goes by. Here he is, still building this ark. Now he's got his boys helping because they're about 20 years old. 18, 20 years old. Now they're helping him build this ark. He goes, boys, this is a family fun time. We're going to do this as a family, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be great. Amen? I think him, Shem, and Jeth have been looking at them and going, Daddy, do you realize nobody else is building an ark? Do you realize that nobody else has to take and heat this pitch up and have to pitch this thing inside and out? Do you realize nobody else has to cut all these trees down? Do you realize that? But son, God said we had to do it. After 75 years, I'm sure that 575 years old, Noah was getting a little tired of building that ark. But you know what? He continued on, until all of a sudden one day, it was done. Wealth, prestige, fame in a building, or building a name for himself, was not in Noah's mind as much as being faithful to God for the duration. You know, we do not have a lot of Noahs left in this world today. You know that? You know, people will say that I have a desire to do something for God. I'm going to be dependable to get the job started. But many don't stick with it through the duration and see it come to an end. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to see the work of God get accomplished. And everybody knows I do. Working for God in any ministry is not a one-day thing. Working for God in a ministry is not a one-week thing or a one-year thing. Working for God in a ministry is a lifetime commitment, or until God takes you elsewhere. You know, when I was growing up, I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Mrs. Himsel. And we were in Verona Baptist Church, Memorial Baptist Church, for about 25 years. And that was even after my wife and I got married. And all the time that we went to that church, Mrs. Himsel taught the junior girl class. She taught the junior girl class. Every Sunday morning, she was there, and she was faithful. She was faithful to be in her class every Sunday morning. I remember when she had a baby. She had a baby on Monday. She was taught in church with the baby the following Sunday, teaching her Sunday school class. About 15 years after we left the church, we moved away. We'd moved up into the Green Bay area. And we went back home to visit. We went back to the church to visit. And I saw Mrs. Hemphill. And I said to her, I said, "Well, what are you doing in the church?" She smiled at me and she says, "I'm still teaching the junior high girls." I said, "Well, when are you going to quit that?" She says, "When God calls me home." She says, "I'll tell you something." She says, "When I took the junior high girls as a Sunday school class 40 years ago, 40 years, I'm going, wow, 40 years, that's a long time. She says, "When I took that, I told Pastor Matthews at the time, she says, I will take that class as long as God wants me to have it." 40 years later, she was still teaching it. What's that? Oh, you have no idea. I mean, it's unbelievable. Jim Hemsel, that was her son, he taught the junior high boys. And I know that he taught them for 30 years because I would go back. I had him when I was junior high. In fact, they held me back a couple years in junior high because we didn't have a senior high teacher at the time. So all the junior hires got to stay back with the junior high. And I had him for like 6 years. I loved him, man. He was a man's man. You know, have you ever had a teacher who you really, really liked in life? You know, I liked him because, number one, he was a godly man. Number two, he liked to shoot guns. And I liked to shoot guns. He had a range in his basement. And I thought to myself, you know, when I get old enough, I'm going to have a house and I'm going to have a shooting range in my basement too. This is so cool. His son and I, we'd go down there and we'd get the 22s out, shot 22 shorts down in the basement. He said, just make sure you don't hit the wall. But you know, sometimes people like that, they make an impression on you that you don't forget. But you know what? They did the job for the duration. They did what God had called them to do for the duration. You know, Noah, if he had quit after 90 years, the ark would never have gotten finished. The rains would have come, the floods would have came, God would have had to start all over again. But you know, working for God in a ministry is a lifetime situation. You know, when we started the school, that was back in 2002, I went and I told the people then, I said, we have to make a lifetime commitment if we're going to start this school. Brother Ken and I talked about this many times, that if we were going to start the school, it had to be a lifetime commitment, because we couldn't start it 1 year and then close it. And we've been faithful through the duration of years that we've had the school open. You know, being faithful to God does not mean that you're going to be faithful only when you feel like it. Faithful only as long as you think you need to be there, or when you get tired of doing it, or until the going gets a little bit tough, until something else comes up in your life and it looks more appealing. As long as you have a little extra money in the paycheck, you know, then I'm going to continue to do this. But being faithful means doing the job until the job is completed. If it had taken Noah 200 years to build that ark, I think he would have kept building it until it was done. If God has given you the desire to do something in the church, or give something to the church, you need to be dependable to do it. Then, you need to take and do it for the duration. You know, in order to be faithful in anything in life, we need to have the desire to do it. Then we need to be dependable to see the job get started. Then we need to be dependable to see it through to the end. Are you willing to be faithful to the things that God has for you to do? It was because Noah had a desire to serve God that he was dependable to do what God wanted him to do, and he stuck with it until it was over, and he was found faithful to God. Go ahead.
Imagine the story you're going to tell someday when we meet
him. Yeah. You know, if you're willing to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, we need to be faithful to the things that God wants us to do. First, we need the desire. Then we need to be dependable. Then we need to do it for the duration. And if we do, I guarantee that God's going to continue to do a good work in you throughout all the time that you're here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.